Thank you, Jeremy. Do you want to grab your Bibles? We're continuing in 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 18. Peter says, "Slaves," we might also say servants, "in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if you bear up under the pain of unjust suffering, because you are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What would it mean for you to do right by your employer this week? It might be about consciously taking more care over the aspects of your job that you don't like very much. It might be about taking some unforgiveness to God that you've been holding in your heart about a colleague and working it through with God. What would it mean for you to do the right thing by your employer this week? It's not a very comfortable question, perhaps, but I'm asking it because I'm asking myself, because I hope it will help us to get to grips with what Peter is talking about in these verses. And this whole section from verse 11, Peter is urging his brothers and sisters to do right by their employers. And he lists all the different reasons he can think of why God wants us to do right by our employers. So in verse 12, he says, "Do right by your employer for their sake, so that they might be saved, so that your commitment to doing right might point them to God, the source of all goodness." I think we can probably all get behind that, right? That seems like quite a good Christian reason for doing the right thing at work. But in our verses for today, Peter takes things up a level. He says, "Do the right thing by your employer, even when they treat you badly." Look with me again at verse 18. "In reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh." And again in verse 20, he says, "If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God." So Peter is saying, when your manager is unkind and unfair to you, continue to do right by her. Keep going. Keep choosing to do the right thing. Continue to do your job as well as you can, and pray for her. So, okay, Peter says we must love our employers even when they persecute us. But why? Have a look with me at verse 21. "To this," i.e. to suffer for doing good, "to this you were called." Now, that's a painful idea. To suffer for doing good is what you and I have been called to do. When a person becomes a Christian, they're able to enjoy so many wonderful things, to enjoy the love of God, to enjoy freedom from the fear of punishment for sin, to enjoy being part of a new family. We're called to all these things. But we are also called, Peter says, to suffer for doing good. To choose to continue to do good, even when you are being treated unfairly, is part of our new identity in Christ. It's part of who you and I are now. Peter is saying, This is what you and I have been called to by God. So let's make sure we do what he's calling us to do. Now, that's really hard, isn't it? Let's go into this a little deeper. Peter gives us another reason for continuing to do the right thing for our employers, whatever the consequences. Look with me again, verse 21. To this you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So do right by your employer for the sake of Jesus Christ, to follow his example. What was this example again, exactly? First, Jesus suffered even though he hadn't done anything wrong. Verse 22 says, he committed no sin. Jesus suffered and was punished unjustly for a sin he didn't commit. So Jesus knows what it feels like when we suffer for something we didn't do. When we're in that moment feeling the impact of an unjust accusation or hearing ourselves being slandered, Jesus knows what that feels like. And he knows the temptation to anger or fear in that moment. And he knows how hard it is to choose the way of peace, how hard it is to forgive, to pray for the person slandering us. And yet, this is the way that he lived. And this is the way that he's calling us to live. Second, Jesus did not try to get his own back. Verse 23 says, he did not retaliate, he made no threats. I just want to pause here and say, what I really wouldn't want is for anyone here experiencing bullying, say, at work, to leave thinking that what they've got to do is just to suck it up. That's not what we're talking about here. It's really important that because of the society that we live in, based on Christian principles, we have accountability structures, we have opportunities for truth-telling where it comes to corruption and bullying. So please hear me. It's right to speak the truth if things are wrong. But what I'm talking about, what Peter is talking about here, is our heart attitude throughout all of that. The temptation for revenge is so strong. Even if we keep it hidden in our hearts and never let it show, even if we never let our manager know what we think, but we decide to hate them forever because of what they said or did. But when we do that, we are trying to take justice into our own hands. We are trying to punish that person, to make them suffer for what we have suffered. And Jesus knows what that desire feels like. But when he stood in front of Pilate and the religious leaders, he chose not to hate. Verse 23 says that instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He left them to God, who is the judge of all. And that's big. We believe in a judgment day. Jesus entrusted Pilate to God and that judgment day. And this is what he calls us to do, not to hate, but to forgive. To entrust our enemies to God, even to pray for their conversion. Now, that's a tough one. To pray that they would know the forgiveness of God. But this is the way that Jesus lived. And this is the way that he is calling us to live. So, okay, but come on now, Peter. How do we do this? This is really difficult. How do we actually live like this? Look with me at verse 25. Peter says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." When we were converted, God changed our hearts so that we now have the capacity to live like this. Once we didn't know how not to hate our enemies, but now we know different. We can live like this because once we were a bit of a mess. Not saying we're perfect, but we have been healed. Once we were lost, but we have come home. We didn't know God, but now we know him. And now we know that he is our shepherd, the one who looks after us and cares for us. And now we know that all the resources that we need, the patience, the forgiveness, the self-control, the wisdom, all these are found in him. And he will share those resources with us. He will help us. He will teach us and help us to grow into our calling to suffer for doing good. So what will it mean for you to do right by your employer this week? Amen.